People all over the world have not only reported UFO sightings, but also having had direct contact with their pilots. The alien abduction phenomenon has only increased in frequency over the last few years. What are these alien beings? Are they physical? Spiritual? Something in between, or something different altogether? That's what today's panel will be discussing, but first, watch this.
It's probably the toughest area to research that I'm aware of.
I suspect that they are going to try to represent themselves as our benefactors.
Still masquerading as the saviors of humanity here from some other star system. It's a lie.
When looking at the UFO phenomenon, we have to remember the skeptics have to be right every time, but the believers only need to be right once.
This is the coming great deception.
This is ultra-dimensional, extra-dimensional, and quite possibly what the Bible describes as angels and demons.
These extraterrestrial vehicles are beginning to take a more hostile posture and are beginning to engage our military assets.
We're going to have official disclosure of the UFO alien presence.
This is not fiction. It's coming.
Welcome back to Skywatch TV. We're in studio today with the director of the newest Skywatch Films documentary release, The Great Delusion, The Second Coming of Earth's Oldest Enemy, Mr. Josh Peck.
Hey, Joe. Good to be here.
And we're also joined in studio by Tom Horn, who along with myself not only produced the film, but have been archiving footage for its use for over a decade. But before we get into our discussion, over the last couple of weeks, we've been showing you selected clips from the movie itself, and have another incredible sneak preview excerpt to share with you today. And here in just a bit, we're going to reveal how you can get a copy of the full-length film. But first, watch this.
Hey, Carl, good to talk to you. Thanks for taking my call, brother.
Oh, it's my honor, Josh. Thanks for having me.
You're a very well-known pastor here in America. You've written several best-selling books.
So talking about the alien abduction phenomena, what do you make of that? Is this demon attacks? Is this hallucinations? Are these actual aliens abducting people? What do you make of the whole alien abduction phenomena?
When Tim was here, he had a different idea that they might not be demons. I don't know if you're familiar with how he talks about it, but what response would you have to that theory?
Parallels between that and current UFO lore seems to be very similar,
yes.
Which might then be suggestive that both the phenomenon is real and that it's been going on for a very long period of time.
Is there anything within either alien abduction scenarios or the UFO sighting scenarios where something like higher dimensions would be a better conclusion to draw rather than extraterrestrials from other planets?
In my book, demons and fallen angels are two different entities. Demons are the disembodied spirits of a Nephilim destroyed in the flood. That's what demons are. They are earthbound. Fallen angels are fallen angels, part of the heavenly host that was created and rebelled against the Most High God. There's a word called metaschismatosai in the Greek. And we know that from the Bible, Satan can appear as an angel of light. So he's able to metaschismatosai, change his appearance and look however he wants, male, female, whatever. The symbol of Baphomet is a perfect example. It's a chimera. It's a woman. It's a man. It's a goat. What is it? I would propose to you that Baphomet is the spirit of the age. Baphomet, that's where we are. Terrifying.
The alien abduction question probably really came into the public focus with the Betty and Barney Hill case. This was a couple, they were musicians, they were traveling home from a gig, and they described being pulled over in their car with a flying saucer. They got out to see it, and then they kind of had a blackout and wake up with kind of vague memories of being aboard a flying saucer. Now, since then, there's just been a multitude of cases. People claiming to be abducted out of their beds at night, out of their cars, you know, from all sorts of different situations. There's a question of, is this really physically happening, or is this a dream, or is this some kind of vision? But there seems to be some of both going on, but some of the cases that I've examined, the spouses or significant others report that the person is actually physically missing. So I don't think we can explain it all away as visionary. The fact that something very real is going on has been confirmed by quite a few researchers. Probably one of the most prominent would have been Harvard psychiatrist Dr. John Mack, who really risked his career to study this, and Harvard even put him up for review over this. He had to defend himself, and he was exonerated. He determined that there is a very real phenomenon going on. The extent that it's physical or spiritual, you know, is debatable. But I think the fact that it's real is undeniable.
I'm Nick Pope. I worked for the British government for 21 years at the Ministry of Defence, which is the UK's equivalent of the Department of Defense in the US. I was a civilian. I was there for 21 years. And for much of the early 90s, I was posted to a division where my duties included researching and investigating the UFO phenomenon. And my mission was to analyze the data and assess the defense implications of UFOs. Very few, maybe none, of these strange phenomena, whether it's UFOs or alien abductions, have a single cause. I suspect that when we talk about UFOs and alien abductions, multiple things are going on. Some of them prosaic in terms of the explanations. Other things may be anomalous. With UFOs, for example, one can say that a lot of it is misidentifications. Aircraft lights, satellites, meteors, weather balloons, etc. Same thing with alien abduction. Alien contact. Some of these experiences at the very extreme end of the spectrum will simply be fabricated. Other abduction experiences might be attributable to a combination of vivid dream, hallucination, things like that. Then you get to the anomalous end of the spectrum. And of course, many believe alien abduction in the literal sense is simply extraterrestrials taking people against their will physically on board a nuts and bolts spaceship. And that's certainly one possible interpretation of the data. But there are other possible answers to this. Some take us to interesting territory like other dimensions, parallel universes, the whole spiritual realm. There are interesting parallels, for example, between the alien abduction experience and the shamanic experience, the shamanic journey. With shamans, they get into the shamanic state however they do it, whether it's through dance or whether it's through taking various substances, hallucinogens, and they enter this other realm. Some people who have no interest in UFOs or abductions have done this for themselves and gone into that same trance state, and they have accessed something. And it makes one wonder, is there another realm out there that can be accessed in a number of ways? Is it what modern science might call hidden dimensions, parallel universes, or is it something else, something that at present we have neither the words nor the concepts to understand or describe?
When we get down to the double or triple handfuls of what seem to be real brain twisters, Like, you know, all the tests you can run on these people have been run, and they seem to be sane and rational people, and they keep coming up with the same stories. That gets a little freakier to people. So let's just pretend like, for the sake of this conversation, that those are absolutely real and that experience actually happened to these people. So then what's the explanation? I think it's demonic. I truly do not think it's actual physical humanoid type beings from other planets that have developed the technology and the curiosity to be so far more advanced than we are to come to us for the sole purpose of trashing the gospel of Jesus Christ and examining us sexually and messing with our minds and terrifying us. More than likely, biblically speaking and even scientifically speaking now, we are dealing with interdimensional experiences of some kind of an entity, and I would say an evil entity, and I would say that would be demonic.
Contrary to popular conception, aliens are not demons. I can say that unequivocally. We know what demons are within the biblical context. According to the Hebrew tradition, demons are the disembodied spirits that proceeded from the Nephilim when they died in the pre-flood age. The demon is a ravenous wraith. Its only desire is to inhabit a body of flesh through which it can interact with the material world. These entities were cursed to be bodiless wraiths that would wander the earth and would feel all of the desires of the flesh. They would be hungry, they would be thirsty, but they wouldn't be able to eat or drink or satisfy their fleshly desires. Every time that we encounter demons in the New Testament, for example, there are these savage, ravenous, foaming from the mouth entities. In the case of the Gadarene, who was demon-possessed, it was said of him that he would scream in the tombs and he would break his chains. He was a very ravenous person because he was demonized. There was a legion of demons inhabiting his body, his biology. They want to feel once more the fabric of the physical world from which they were banished. The manner, the disposition of the gray alien is totally antithetical to a demon in the traditional sense. I think that if we were to try and contrive the most unattractive body for a demon to inhabit, we couldn't do any better than a gray alien. The gray aliens are stoic. As far as we know, they don't eat or drink in the way that we do. They absorb nutrients, most likely. As far as we know, they do not have sexual organs. And their disposition is robotic. You have to imagine gray aliens abducting people and bringing them on board these alien crafts. Sometimes there's hundreds of people laid out on tables, and the grays are kind of like the worker bees conducting the different procedures related to the abduction phenomenon, which are sexual in nature. So you have to imagine these little stoic gray aliens walking around among sometimes hundreds of naked bodies, incapacitated, laying on tables. Somehow we think that these are demons, or that they're flesh suits for demons and they're able to restrain themselves, you know, and because again, all a demon wants to do is fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Basically, you would be trapped inside of this stoic little creature that doesn't even if you could, even if you wanted to, you don't have the reproductive organs to even engage in the satiation of your sexual desires. You're literally in the most unattractive body you could possibly imagine if you're a demon. So I don't think that demons have anything whatsoever to do with gray aliens.
Fallen angels, again, can appear as angels of light. They're not going to go, hi, I'm a fallen angel and I'm here to kill you. They're going to lure you in. Every abductee I've ever talked to, they've always been told, right to the ego, they have a special purpose. They've been singled out. You have a very special mission. You must fulfill it. And meanwhile, they're wasting away to nothing. Literally, they're losing weight. They're not sleeping. They're obsessed with this thing, and that's how they lure you in. The demons that are disembodied and that possess people, that's a whole different deal, isn't it? They're foaming at the mouth and are absolutely crazy. So fallen angels that appear, they're not our friends either, don't misunderstand me. But they seem to have a different agenda or be able to present themselves in a way that is more palatable to humans, whereas the demonic is the demonic.
The Bible tells us there's the angelic realm, there's the demonic realm, There's power behind it. Satan is called the prince of the power of the air. There's technology behind it. There's some kind of terrible, terror-invoking deception. The Bible says that. I think those kinds of verses, studied in their context, may point to some type of a UFO disclosure. And a lot of ufologists who have spent decades believing that it was humanoid beings from other planets have now backed way off of that and have gone on public record saying, after all these years, we believe these are entities that have always been among us, probably interdimensional, probably malevolent. They have nothing good designed. And several of them, who I don't think are even believers after reading their biographies, say, this phenomena we now believe is more in line with what the Christians would call demonic activity.
If we take those things that are larger than us, larger than man's reach, and just lump that and call that the macrocosm, we suddenly are confronting astronomy, astrophysics, those kinds of things. The great discovery of 20th century science is that the universe is finite. It may be expanding, but it's finite. And that has staggering implications. That means it has a beginning, and it'll ultimately have an end. If we go the other way, looking at what's smaller than man, call that the microcosm. That gets even weirder, because you and I would think that if we took, say, a piece of string or something, and we cut it in half, we'd take whatever we have left, cut it in half again. And at least, maybe not physically, but conceptually, you think whatever we have left, we can cut in half. It turns out, we discover, shockingly, that when you get 10 to the minus 33 centimeters, and you try to divide that, what we have there loses a property called locality. That observation has actually been proven in the laboratory. They actually demonstrated non-locality. Every photon in the universe somehow is directly connected to every other photon. That defies our normal thinking of space, if you will. What we call physical reality has a limit in smallness, whether it's length, mass, energy, or time. It's made up of units that you can't divide. So there's a limit to smallness. There's a limit to largeness. What we call physical reality is a digital simulation. There was an article in Scientific American, June of 2005, which was dealing primarily with the fact that constants in physics seem to be changing, but they make the observation that's profound, that if the constants of physics are changing, that implies that our physical reality is a shadow of a larger reality. And I was blown away when I first saw that, because that's exactly what the Bible's been saying all along.
Let's suppose we are dealing with intrusion. Think of it as a doorway, a gateway, a portal. Every door is basically a two-way affair. So if, with UFOs and abductions, we are dealing with what you might call leakage or something coming through, then it works both ways. You can go into this realm, and something can come out of this realm. And maybe that's an interesting way to think of the entire range of paranormal phenomena, that it's a sort of leakage from these other dimensions, these hidden worlds.
What contactees describe as extraterrestrials may fall into two categories: demonic entities that have been given physical form. And there are some who believe that the alien grays are meat suits that have been genetically created to give physicality to these spirits. That's the thing with demons. They cannot manifest physically in our world. In the case of the alien grays, it almost appears as though they were created for these suits. Now, I don't have an opinion one way or the other definitely on that issue. I would suggest that some of the other entities that have been observed by contactees appear to be fallen angels, and they can manifest in our space domain. In the Bible, they're always described as humans. The book of Hebrews tells Christians that we can entertain angels unawares. The way they are described in the oldest Sumerian texts and iconography are very often theriomorphic. That means hybrid animal-human. And that's what we see in many of the accounts from contactees. Mantids, things that look like insectoids, if you will, or reptilians. Interestingly, the experiments by Dr. Rick Strassman with DMT, the so-called spirit molecule, with volunteers in Arizona, they encountered similar entities. Things that looked like humanoid crocodiles who were not happy that the volunteers were entering their time-space domain. Is there some connection there between the spirit realm and what contactees are reporting? Yes, I think so. And I think that when we compare this with older descriptions from Sumer, Mesopotamia, of denizens of the spirit realm, bison men, scorpion men, fish men, I think there's something there. I think those who are being contacted are seeing both demons that have been enfleshed somehow and fallen angels.
We're not necessarily dealing with one straight explanation, one neat solution here. There may be several things going on. And for people who say, oh, this is all just science fiction, actually it's not. And very often things that maybe a few years ago might have been more sci-fi are now quite science-y. Other Dimensions is a very good example of that. Some of the string theory, for example, needs the existence of these so-called hidden dimensions for the equations to actually work. And scientists, including the great theoretical physicist Michio Kaku, are actively looking for these hidden dimensions right now at places like the Large Hadron Collider in Europe. A spiritual or occult explanation of UFOs and abductions is quite possible. And one of the figures, I think, who's often overlooked in all of this is the great magician and occultist Aleister Crowley. One only has to look at that drawing, that famous image of a lamb, this entity that he says that he encountered. It's the archetypal image of an alien grey, really, or it's the prototype of an alien grey. So the idea that there are these entities that through magic, through witchcraft, through the occult, can be summoned or decide themselves to come through some sort of portal into our world. That's interesting. And one person's demon is another person's grey. It's all a question of language and perception. If you are asleep in your bed and you see a shadowy figure across the room, how you interpret that will depend on your belief system, your culture, your knowledge. So to some people, it will be a ghost. To others, it might be an angel or a manifestation of the Blessed Virgin Mary. To others, it might be demonic. To others, it might be extraterrestrial. But these are just our words and labels. The reality of these things may transcend all of that. There may be more fact to this than people realize.
Welcome back to Skywatch TV. I'm Joe Horn. We're going to show you how you can get a copy of the full-length documentary, The Great Delusion, along with several other groundbreaking materials on the discussion of UFOs, aliens, and the second coming of the Earth's earliest enemy. And when we come back, we're going to talk with the film's director and producer. Stay tuned.
With the official disclosure of UFOs moving full steam ahead, very few will be prepared for what is coming. The answers are now available in Josh Peck's groundbreaking new Skywatch Films documentary DVD, over 10 years in the making, entitled The Great Delusion, The Second Coming of Earth's Oldest Enemy, along with Dr. Thomas Horn's documentary-style expose on DVD, Rome and the Star God, and the late Chris Putnam's Vatican presentation on DVD, Astrobiology and the Vatican ET Connection. Josh Peck's new documentary, The Great Delusion, reveals for the first time why the Vatican is in possession of a telescope named the Lucifer Device, why the ancient and mysterious Anasazi suddenly disappeared from the historic record, how alien abductions might be connected to the sixth chapter of the Book of Genesis, whether there is a secret alien-human hybridization program being conducted on Earth right now, if there is a connection between aliens and supernatural entities such as demons and fallen angels, and what we can do to prepare for what's ahead. You'll also see stunning reports on the UFO phenomenon by Dr. Thomas Horn, Josh Peck, L.A. Marzulli, Timothy Alberino, Nick Pope, Chris Putnam, Chuck Misler, and many more. You'll also receive Dr. Thomas Horn's documentary-style expose, Rome and the Star God, on DVD. Join Dr. Horn for this incredible expose on how the Vatican is not only willing to accept our alien brothers with open arms, but are actually enabling the arrival of the end-time star god, the Antichrist. But that's not all. We're also including the late Chris Putnam's shocking presentation entitled Astrobiology and the Vatican ET Connection on DVD, detailing the Vatican's plans to baptize aliens upon their arrival and how contemporary societies will soon look to the aliens to be the saviors of humankind. Sold separately, these items have a retail value of $75. Yours now for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling while supplies last. Prepare for full disclosure with the Great Delusion special offer. Available now at SkywatchTVStore.com. Order now or call 1-844-750-4985.
Welcome back to Skywatch TV. I'm Joe Horn. We're in studio today with the producers of the new film, The Great Delusion, The Second Coming of Earth's Oldest Enemy, Josh Peck, Tom Horn. Guys, we're spending some time on this because we really want Christians to know there's a lot more to this alien phenomenon, what it is, what are they, supernatural beings, whatnot, than what they may have seen on various history-type channels and so forth. And I believe that this groundbreaking film that I've watched in its entirety has disclosures from Nick Pope. Mm-hmm. These guys gave you nuggets that have never been revealed to the public before.
Right.
But
yeah.
My question for you, Josh, this week, you got a chance to sit at the feet of some of the brightest minds on Earth that are covering this in real time as the government is continuing their drip, drip, drip of disclosure. They're finally admitting now that they've had knowledge of whatever this phenomenon is. So-called aliens, okay, could they be demonic? What are they? Are they actual physical beings from another planet? Two things. What do you think they are after all of this time and research? And what should Christians take away from this film?
To me, this was one of the most important parts of the film because this is kind of an in-house discussion amongst Christians. What are these things? Now, of course, when people watch the various history channels and stuff that you mentioned, they're going to get one interpretation. These are our space brothers. They're our creators. You know, that whole thing. We talked about panspermia in earlier episodes. But within Christianity, it's actually, I think, a more thriving discussion. What are these? Are they extraterrestrials from other planets, as some of the people in the film believe they are? Are they strictly demonic? Are they demons? Which we have that view in the film as well. Or are they something else? Maybe fallen angelic. For me personally, that's the view that I find the most convincing. But in order for that to work, people have to understand there's a difference between demons and fallen angels, and they will learn that in the film.
And Tom, do you agree with that?
I do agree with that. Here's what I would say. When it comes to just UFO phenomenon, this could be military testing, it could be misidentification, it could be Venus is too bright in the nighttime sky, it could be, you know, any number of things. But there are phenomena that the government has actually filmed. We have it on sonar, we have it on, hard film being pursued by our own jet fighters. So some of this is real. Then if you add to that, the other part of this is alien abduction.
Right.
And if you add that, then to me, we are definitely talking about something that is dark supernaturalism.
We're going to have to leave it right there. That brings us to a close today, but you're not going to want to miss next week when we talk about UFOs themselves and why they seem to be getting bolder in their interactions today all around the world. Why is it that only recently the government started publicly taking on this topic, taking it seriously? Join us next week to find out. Gentlemen, for Tom Horn and Josh Peck, I'm Joe Horn. Keep your eyes on the prize, which is Jesus Christ. We'll be back.